what Michael shared is something that's just kind of like a leading up to something. Angie and I have been going through a real strong dealing in the last few days, and it came to a head just yesterday, and we recognized something that really I think is a critical issue. And if I may share for a few minutes here, a couple minutes, is that okay?
Certainly.
Well, first of all, you know, we've been very interested in deliverance for a long time. And we ministered deliverance to some people, and we know that everybody needs deliverance. At least I haven't met anybody that for 10 generations has holy people on both sides of their family and then haven't opened the door in any way. And I think everybody needs deliverance, and I think it says in the Word, it's the children's bread to have deliverance. And it's also, these signs follow them that believe, you know. In my name, they cast out devils. It's number one on the list there. But I tell you what happened with us is we got interested. We had a pretty kind of a little library, almost a collection of deliverance manuals and all of this stuff, you know. We'd read the testimonies of all these different men from all over the country, and we even went to a couple conferences. One of them was strictly deliverance, another one they were into it pretty good. But I started noticing something, and it concerned me, and that was that with many of these deliverance ministers, I saw what I came at, and I said, these people have an inordinate focus on the devil and on all of his works, on the families of devils, on every demon's name, on stories, and it was, the focus was the devil. And there was, I started seeing this, and it concerned me, and I said, I think these people are out of balance. I don't think this is right. I do believe these signs follow them that believe, and it's one of the byproducts of going out and ministering to the gospel or helping set the captives free. But I said, there's something not healthy here. Well, anyway, we got this manual that we ordered on witchcraft from a so-called deliverance minister. And we started having some strange reactions around our household here and started seeing, you know, trouble with between us and trouble and oppression and stuff. We're going, what's going on? Well, it finally came to a head and we saw it for what it is. And I really believe that the Lord brought something out of it that I think needs to be focused on. First of all, in the book, you look in the Garden of Eden, and there was the tree of the knowledge evil. And the Lord, when you eat this tree, the fruit of this tree, you're going to die. There was the tree of life in the garden, but there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I believe that most of what people are feeding on in the church today is the knowledge of good and evil. It's not, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he says, as we said the other day, the carnal mind of the natural man doesn't receive of the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them except they be spiritually discerned. The words of Christ are life. If you look at the Son of God, there's many scriptures about Jesus being life. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the life was manifested, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Yet they testify of me, you won't come to me, that you may have life. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus frees us from the law of sin and death. I think in the book of John, 42 times the word life is used. It really focuses a lot on Christ being, as it were, the tree of life. What I want to point out here, you know, you look in the third chapter of, I think it's 2 Corinthians 3, 17 or 18, but it says that we all, beholding with open face as through a glass, the glory of the Lord, were changed into that image from glory to glory. Now, a man years ago taught something, and it stuck with me. He said, a man's emotional focus is what he becomes. If he, for instance, a person that dwells on bitterness, they're bitter against their father, and they have bitterness, the day will come, somebody will say to them, you're just like your dad, because they have become that thing that they have dwelt on continually. And the thing that I saw happening with many, where there's a great temptation, and I believe that's a Trojan horse right now, to get access of the enemy into the people of God. And we've got to be extremely careful, both with the secular news that we're looking at, and with focusing on the enemy. And I'll tell you why I believe this. The Lord says in His Word, what I was saying about the emotional focus, if you dwell on Christ, it says, as we behold Him through a glass darkly, we're changed into that image. And if your focus is on the enemy, the reproduction that takes place in your soul is going to be that of darkness. I saw that happening in our own hearts at times. I've had times when I was on too much of a focus on what's, I knew all about the world banking systems. I knew about, and I think that there's a point we maybe need to be exposed to that, but we've got to be extremely careful, because when Joshua and Caleb, I think I want to read this to you, Numbers 14, but there's something he said right there. Okay, Numbers 14, verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes, spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then will He bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And the congregation bade stone them with stones. The point I want to make is, what do you think Caleb and Joshua were doing when they were examining the land? They went to spy out the land. I can tell you a scripture that brings out very good. First, that one there that says that Joshua said, it's an exceedingly good land. And when Caleb, 40 years later, entered the land, he says, when I was here 40 years ago, the Lord promised me this mountain. So what I'm saying is, these people were focusing on their inheritance. They had their eyes on the good land. They were looking at, wow, man, this, Caleb said, this mountain, Lord, and the Lord gave him that assurance, that's your mountain, I'm going to give it to you. And they had iron chariots, these guys did. And later on, when it came time, and Joshua, he said to Caleb, he said, the Lord gave me this mountain when I was here. And it was full of iron chariots, and now he's 85 years old. He said, I'm not any weaker than I was 40 years ago. He's 85 years old. And he says, can I have it? He says, you want some help going up? He said, I don't need it. He said, I'll take it. He went up and did, because the Lord was with him, and he walked in that faith, and the angel of the Lord fought for him. But what I'm saying is that these other men were focusing on the giant, and they were so focused on the strength. They came back going, these men have iron chariots, and they have walled cities, and the height of their stature is so great. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They focused on the giants. They focused on their own inability and their weakness. But I just want to say that there's a scripture, and I want you, this is a very important scripture, and it says this in Romans 15:19. It says this, I would that you be wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. Well, what do you think is that? A wise concerning that which is good and simple. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to read a scripture that I think is very, very critical to this whole thing. You want to understand a little bit about Joshua. First of all, I don't know if you know this, but he was up on the mountain when Moses had his exposure to the Lord. When the Lord passed before him, guess who was on the mountain with him? Joshua was. You can see, because when they came off the mountain with the law, you can read about it in, let me see, it would be, in case you're interested in looking at it, it would be Exodus 32:15. You can read that whole story there. But he came down off the mountain with Moses when Moses was up there meeting with God. Now, the scripture I want to read is in Exodus 33, and this gives you an insight. 8th verse. It came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle as the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And he turned again and went into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. While the Lord was appearing to Moses, speaking to him face to face, guess who was there with him? Guess who was there when the cloudy pillar of the presence of God came down in a pillar, a cloudy pillar, the mighty, awesome splendor and majesty of God? Joshua was there with him. And so you see down the road, when Joshua is facing the giants, he goes, they be bled for us, man. Their defense is departed. Let's go up once and possess this land. For he is able to bring us in. He wasn't focused on the giants. He wasn't focused on his own ability. He was focused on the Lord. He was focused on the majesty of God. He had it. He knew the Lord. And what I want to say, says in the scripture, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? And that's in scripture in Matthew, I mean, it's Matthew 6, I think it is. Now it says in, after that scripture, it says, have no fellowship. This is in Ephesians 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things done of them in secret. And what do you say? Have no fellowship. Brethren, when you're fellowshipping, how many times have we gotten together and we're chewing the fat about what Obama's doing or what the devil's doing or what they're doing over here? Man, can you believe what they've done here? The Lord says it's not what we're to be focused on. We fellowship in that stuff. He says, don't even, it's a shame to even speak of the things done of them in secret. And what I want to say is that the whole concept, we are not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're supposed to be eating of the tree of life, which is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we dwell, if you'll focus on the enemy, before long, he will enlarge, as Michael was speaking about, the devil will get bigger and bigger in your eyes. Can you believe what this new world order people are doing? Man, they got iron chariots. They got drones and tanks. They got this and that. Brother, if we're walking in the faith of God, Elijah, you think he would have been intimidated? He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come out of heaven and devour thee and thy 50. And fire came down and devoured them. He wasn't concerned. He knew the Lord when his servant was there with him, and his servant looks out and sees the whole Assyrian army gathered together on the mountainsides like fleas. He goes, Master, what shall we do? Look at this. And all the Elijah said is, Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the chariots of fire and the whole camp and the host of heaven and the angels of the Lord gathered about. And he said, there be more that are for us than they that are against us. And he steps out the door after he had his tea, and he says, Lord, blind them. That was a big prayer. Lord, blind them. But he knew God. He spoke from the faith of Christ. And the whole Assyrian army was blinded. And he walks up to the lead guy and says, who are you looking for? He says, oh, we're looking for this Elijah, the prophet guy. Well, he says, come here, I'll lead you to him. He takes the lead guy's horse, leads the whole Assyrian army by one set of reins, and leads them down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel says, shall we smite them? He says, no, give them some food and send them home. You know, this man walked with God. And what I'm saying, if you want to deal with the devil, it isn't going to be because you become an expert on the devil. It's good. I'll tell you, you want a deliverance manual? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You get your eyes on the power of God. Smith Wigglesworth didn't have any problem with demons. And he didn't have any problem with anything the devil wanted to throw at him, because that man walked with God. He wouldn't even allow anything in his house that wasn't Holy Scripture. If you came in his house with a newspaper, he'd say, take that trash out of the house. He wouldn't have had no TV. He wouldn't have had no internet. He wouldn't have had a cell phone. He had his Bible. That's what he had. But man had faith of God. You read John G. Lake. The Lord said, I've given you power over devils. But the man spent fasting, prayer, separation unto the Lord. If we see the Lord, if we encounter the Lord, we don't need, it says in the book of John, that if all the books that should be written of the Lord Jesus, if all that should be told were, the world couldn't contain the books. Do we really need to focus and focus deeply on the enemy? I tell you, we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you know the Lord, if the power of the Holy Ghost is upon you, if your focus and your eye is single, the devil will run from you. It says, and I hear people misquote this scripture all the time. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. No, he won't. Submit yourself to God, and then resist the devil, and yes, he will. And that's where we need to be as a people of God. It's time for us. We don't have time to be studying the works of darkness. We don't have time to be, this deliverance manual, I opened it up, and the oppression was all over it. They were describing every witchcraft practice in the world, whether it be voodoos or whether the ones in Hindu or Haiti, the Hindus, and all. They went into all the gory detail. I looked at that thing, what do we need to look at this for? I don't need to know what the devil's doing. I don't need to know what these wicked people are doing to other people and to women and what happened to them. I'm telling you what, no, I don't. I'll tell you what I need to know. I need to know the living God. I need to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I need to be in such a place where the glory of God can rest upon us, where we can stand with that people and say with the Lord Jesus that the prince of this world is cast down but has nothing in me. That we can be in that place where the Lord spoke and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to them that are blind, to deliver those that are oppressed and those that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to give him beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Because if we're walking with Christ, if our focus is on Christ, and we don't get drugged down by examining the giants and examining what the devil's doing, what we really need to know is, what is the Lord doing? What is the word of the Lord? One man, you look at one man, Elijah walks up with a man. Obviously, this man had history with God, because the first thing you see in the scriptures, now Elisha the Tishbite, whoever this guy was, walks up to King Ahab and says, there shall no rain fall on this earth but by my word. And walks off into the desert, and they go, this guy's a nutcake. What is this? Wait, you know? But 3 years later, they're hunting for this guy everywhere, because there was no rain on the earth. There was nothing for the cattle. There was no water. There was nothing. But this man, when he finally stood on Mount Carmel, he says, and now, Lord God, let this people know that you are God alone, and that they have forsaken thee and served other gods, and that I am thy servant, and have done all of these things according to thy command. He knew the word of the Lord. The Lord, he didn't have a good idea. Let's all just see who called fire out of heaven. He had a word from the Lord. He went up there with the word of the Lord. He had rhema. He had the word of God. This is what I'm going to do. You step in here and be the vessel. I'm going to do this. And 850 prophets died that day by his sword. 850 false prophets. This is a time, brothers and sisters, if we examine the giants, we're burger. I'm going to give you a word. You examine the giants in this hour, because there's going to be stuff that's come our way, brother. We need to be able to look down the barrel of a UN tank and say, you have no power whatsoever against me unless it's given of my Father in heaven. We need to look at the 18-foot tall giant and go, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I bind you in Jesus' name and cast your carcass to the ground. We need to have that kind of faith. We can look at the mountains slipping into the sea, as it says in Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should be removed, though the mountains should slip into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. For there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When Jesus faced the devil, he said, it is written. It is written. We need to know the word. We need to take our time and focus on the word of God. We need to put key chapters, key verses in our heart that apply to the battle we're in. We need to pull out of our arsenal the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the faith of God that is a shield of faith, and take that sword, and I tell you what, there's not a devil that can stand. Those five smooth, small stones that David pulled out of the brook, When Saul said, here, put this armor of mine on. He puts this stuff on and he goes, I haven't proven these things. But I'll tell you, he took those five smooth, small stones and that man knew about a sling. And it didn't take him six shots. It took him one. Drilled that guy between the eyes and the anointing of the Lord was upon him. But the faith of Christ was there. And take those things, make that word so real in your heart that you've proven these things. You can take those small stones. One verse, Smith Wigglesworth, he just lied. Some of these men, he could take one verse and stand on it, raise the dead. That man had the faith of Christ, and it took one verse of Scripture. He didn't need a barrage of books on 10 steps to sonship. All he needed to do is to have the faith of Christ mixed with the Word of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. We can't look at the enemy in this time. We've got to get our eyes on the Lord Jesus. The Word of God has got to be our focus. Our eye must be single. And with all of our heart, be very cautious. And if you're going to examine the news that's going on, be careful with it. Because don't let that focus get to a point where you start examining the giants and looking at your own sufficiency. We need to be so thoroughly in the Spirit of God, so thoroughly engrossed in the Scriptures of God, so thoroughly filled with the faith of Christ and the life of Christ, that when we look at these giants, we say, they be bread for us, the defense is departed, let's go at once and possess this land, for he is able to bring us in.
Whoa, that was awesome. That's a good word there. Thank you, Michael. That just, when you're sharing that, it's so true, because, we can get, pulled into, Steve Quayle and Rush Limbaugh and, Glenn Beck and, all this stuff, most of the stuff on the internet's, most of it's just all propaganda. And we can get, pulled into that, get pulled into fear, get pulled into, be manipulated by the enemy. And that's a powerful word, is what are we focused in on? Are we focused in on the Word of God? Are we focused in? Because I saw, when you were sharing that, I saw in our life that when we first came to the Lord, we were dealing with some, basically when we got married, after about a year being married, we were already in divorce court. And part of the problem was our flesh. It was drinking, with me, and it was television. I had my television in the kitchen, and Trish had her television, and we were just, that would just kind of separate us. And we came to the Lord, and at one point we realized that we need to get rid of this television. And we, that was 20 years ago, we got rid of that television. And people used to call me up trying to sell me cable and all this stuff. And I said, I don't own a television. And, it would be dead silence on the other end of the phone. And it was like, well, how do you get your news? And, I would just kind of joke with them and say, well, if things get bad enough, somebody's going to tell me. And we need to have that same attitude. If things get bad enough, the Lord is going to tell us. And then I remember that we did have a television, but we really didn't have cable or anything like that. But when 9/11 hit, we got sucked into that television. We didn't leave that television for a couple of days, when that whole 9/11 thing was going on. And, when the tribulation starts, we don't need to be sucked into the internet and sucked into, just all this fear and, everything going on. We need to get, press into the Lord and get our marching orders, as far as where, what's, when we see things starting to happen, that's where we need to be. And, I can see, because I've known a lot of Christians, and everybody kind of goes through that, where they, you know, you they start getting all the books on just, you know, deliverance and just all the manuals that are out there and the how to's and, you know, all this stuff. It's all the works and stuff like that. And it's all, most of that is all man. I mean, there's truth in there, but it's all man, but we have what we need in the Word. You know, the Word is really what all we need. And so that's an awesome thing. And I just, you know, I rarely go into a Christian bookstore, but, you know, if I need to buy a Bible for somebody or something like that, you know, our boys, you know, we're going off to camp and we want to get them some waterproof Bibles or some pocket Bibles. And you go in there and you just see the multi-millions of books and just, you know, everybody's got their own Bible and all the different books and all the Christian, all these celebrities and all this. And it's just, most of that's all fables. It's just, it's all, you know, lifting up the flesh and, you know, 10 steps to this and all that. So Michael, thank you for sharing that. That was awesome. Thank you, brother. Michael,
I just wanted to say one thing. We burnt a bunch of deliverance manuals last night at our house. And another thing is that I'm just always convicted. A young man that we just heard of, a young man the other day, he was saved under Wilkerson's ministry and went to Wilkerson's Bible school. And just a few short years ago, now he's in India and he's memorized the whole New Testament. And I think that the thing that's challenging to all of us is in all of the 12-year-olds in the Muslim countries have to memorize all 114 chapters of the Quran writings and of all the Muslim books before they can be confirmed at 12 years old as a man. And it should be a conviction in our own heart that we don't get more devoted to these things.
Amen.